All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on the Saturday, August 2nd, 2014. It's a little wet out there, so hopefully you're just making a pot of coffee, about to maybe fire up some blueberry pancakes and sit back and enjoy the show. We got a great show this morning. Rob LeBritz is going to be on the show. You probably remember him from, you probably know him from Twitter and from other social media outlets, but he was thrust into the national spotlight, if you will, last year when he holed out in the at the PGA Professionals Championship. The top 25 guys get into the PGA Championship, and so Rob had 95 yards in for his third shot into a par four and ends up holing it out. To get into the not only to get in, well, he holds out for birdie and gets into the PGA Championship that year. So just but we've known him around these parts for quite some time. He was 2008, 2011 New York State Open champion, and he was the low professional at the 2010 PGA Championship, the PGA at Whistling Straits, with all that drama with the bunker issue and bunker drama, if you will, and then the playoff between Bubba Watson and Martin Kaymer, which Martin Kaymer went on to go on and win. So real good guy and a real good story. And so we're happy to have him on the program. But we're going to take a short break when you're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015. 1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
Well, there's a fire. All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Still waiting on Rob. I'm sure he'll be joining us shortly. Just go through the field a little bit here at the WGC, the Bridgestone Invitational, World Golf Championships. We made a little bit of headlines this week just because there were some comments asked of, or some questions asked of, apparently there was one local reporter who was asking a lot of the players what they thought about the venue there at Firestone, and I guess the quote was attributed to another writer who had said that the venues lacked inspiration. And it's funny that this came up, but me and a friend, a guy I talked with on Twitter across the pond, and always a pleasure to have him on the program, but me and John Huggin, the writer, golf writer, discussed this maybe last month, when we were talking about the WGC events and how and we had realigned all the major championships and we're having some fun with it. But the World Golf Championships not because, let's say, a particular venue is uninspiring, whether it's the match play in Arizona or just in general, should be, if it's by nature of the name, the World Golf Championships. It would be nice, since we have three of the four major championships in the that we have in golf or in the United States, it would be nice if then they moved around the WGC events. And so apparently, obviously, this was a local reporter, and he was asking all the people, but by and far to a man, everybody said they had loved the Firestone. I think what the original writer's intent in saying that the WGC events were uninspiring were particularly, I think, the one that's had a lot of trouble is the match play in Arizona. And so, but the players love Firestone. They rave about it. It is an old school track, if you will. Tree lined. What you see is, you know, Tiger says it all the time. It's all there in front of you, and so you know it's that kind of track. And growing up in the Northeast, you know, it's a very similar style of golf that we see here in the Northeast. So, you know, I think it's a fantastic championship, and what Sergio Garcia did yesterday on the back nine was just special. I mean, 29 on the back, 7 birdies to finish. I mean, it's just an amazing event, you know, a major golf happening, if you will. It's just to see that kind of golf, to watch that kind of golf, to see the elite players play like that. It's special, and that's the difference between, you know, the fine line between, you know, making it on the PGA Tour or making it on the Web.com Tour. When you see players like that, like what Sergio did yesterday, it was special. So, and to be able to witness it was amazing. And you know, it takes a little bit. You know, he had to make a few long ones to keep that streak going. But that when you're in that zone, it seems like. Those are the things that kind of happen, and so it's going to be it sets up for a fantastic weekend, I guess is my point. And you know, you have the likes of Justin Rose and Mark Leishman and Rory McIlroy and Ricky Fowler, but you know, that are all in shouting distance, I guess you could say. You know, the weekend is the weekend, so you have there's plenty of golf to be played, and so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And certainly the subplot, obviously, behind this is the idea of what's going to happen now with the Ryder Cup, with the whole, you know, with Dustin Johnson now out of the picture. It's just be an interesting choice for Tom Watson. What does that do for him? Does it make his life easier in some ways? Does it make his life harder as the likes of, like, Phil Mickelson now can gets closer? Gets closer and closer to the. I think he's 11 now, maybe. So that'll be, you know, that'll help Tom Watson in terms of who he picks. If he can make it on his own, gives him a little more leeway. But you know, it's still difficult spot for Tom Watson to be in. I think, if you're asking me, I think his life is particularly hard, and so we'll see what happens. With that, but I think we're going to take one more break, and then we'll come back, and maybe we'll have some call-ins. We'll see what's going on here. Maybe hear from you. But you're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Terry Landscaping is an award-winning designing building landscape firm serving Long Island for over 2 decades. Located in Brightwaters, we are owner-operated and proud of the superb relationships we maintain with our customers. The services we provide will ensure that all phases of your project will be completed to your satisfaction. Contact us at 631-968-4882. That's 631-968-4882 to learn more about how we can transform your property into something of beauty and lasting value.
It's here at last, golf season. South Shore Golf in Oakdale presents Mega Demo Day on Monday, June 13th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Timber Point Golf Course. You'll have the opportunity to hit new clubs for 2011. TaylorMade, Ping, Titleist, Cobra, Mizuno, Callaway, and Nike. Make sure you get down here for your chance to win a brand new TaylorMade R11 driver. Whether you play golf or you're just learning, how about getting fit for clubs by their professional and certified staff? Also, a PGA trade-in value for used clubs to be applied for new products, so bring those old clubs down. South Shore Golf also specializes in golf club repair, re-gripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf, 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined by Rob LeBritz, the director of golf at Glen Arbor Golf Club. How you doing, Rob?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
It's going all right. It's a little wet today, so it looks like we're going to be light on lessons and light on a little golf, but maybe it might clear up later.
I'll tell you what, it was raining pretty hard last night. I think I got woken up a couple times. We have our bays, so I'll have a few lessons, and they'll be indoors, which will be nice.
Oh, nice, nice. So you have that set up there. So, yeah, I was looking at the website. You guys have a wonderful facility there at
Thanks.
Glen Arbor.
If you can't get better there, you can't get better anywhere.
You know, it's funny, you know, looking around on the internet, you know, and poking around and just looking at little tidbits of you, and I was just thinking, when you look back now it's almost a year since all that stuff happened. You know, you've had a baby, you hole out from the fairway to make it into the PGA Championship. You know, it's been, you know, when you look back now at the year, you know, what comes to mind and how does it make you feel?
Oh, you know, I've been so blessed with things that have happened in my both personal life and golf life. You know, I can't really pinpoint one. All I know is it's been a rush. 2013 was a great year. You know, obviously, the birth of my daughter, I got married in 2012. So, you know, looking back at everything, it's just, I work really hard at the game. And, I spend a lot of time with my family, but, you know, they also know the sacrifices I make to work hard at golf. And it's nice to see the work that you put in pay off after a time. I mean, for all the hours that you spend on the putting green and all the hours and you spend on the range and on the golf course and teaching, and it's nice to see sometimes the cameras pop out and something happen.
But, I agree with that. And, I was kind of disappointed when you were low pro in 2010, and everybody remembers that, obviously, with the whole bunker issue and all that stuff. And you know what I was disappointed about, and I remember thinking it at the time, was the PGA, which does a wonderful job of promoting the professionals who are in the PGA Championship. And so, but I'm sure they were pressed for time, and I'm sure there was a reason for it. But I remember just seeing you standing up there at the ceremony. Martin Keimer is getting his thing, and you know, they do such a great job of promoting the PGA players, the professionals that are playing. It would have been nice to hear from you if they had just said a few words with you, because, you know, someone who, you know, it's people like you who make the help keep the game alive and give Martin Keimer a sort of, you know, really, I don't want to say a career, but you help keep his, basically, his livelihood alive. And so it just would have been nice, here's the low pro, maybe say a few words. And so I just thought that would have been a nice little touch, being that they did such a great job all week of promoting the professionals, to hear from the low pro, you know?
I totally hear you. And they, honestly, you know, we work hand in hand with each other. You know, the tour pros bring all the exposure to the game. They're on TV all the time. And then we just, you know, the PGA pros just kind of handle the day-to-day ops, which is great. We don't mind, you know, doing that, which is why we took the job. So it's a great partnership that we have.
Yeah.
And in that defense, you know, there was the broadcast actually ran over because of Dustin Johnson's shot out of the bunker, onto the right of 18 there.
Right. Right.
So,
and then the playoff. So of course there were some. It just, you know, you're right. I definitely agree. They probably were pressed for time. And it was nice to see you up there. I just would have liked to have heard from you. But maybe that's because I'm a little biased being from the area.
No, I mean, I hear you, too. And it was, I agree that, you know, it was one of the things that got cut, I guess when you're swooshed in there for a couple minutes. But it is what it is. And but to, Yeah, it would have been cool to say a few words.
Absolutely. What do you take from playing in those big events, the major championships, when you come back and then you play in the local events? Is there any transference when you and let's drill down a little further, and then so you play in these major events like the PGA Championships, and then you take that and you learn from that. And then you play in local Met-Am, Metropolitan Golf Association events, or the Met PGA events, like the State Open, where you just finished third. And then transferring from there to that, and then maybe teach. How does that trickle down to your students and how you help them?
Oh yeah, I mean that's a great question. I everything that I learn, throughout the years. I mean, God, I've been doing this professionally now since 1991, I think. But when I get the chance to play with, Keegan Bradley or Jason Duffner and Dustin, and then all of a sudden you go into, a local event. I mean, it feels easier.
Right.
Okay. Although it's not, because you don't win all the time, I mean,
exactly.
You draw on your experiences, and maybe that's why, for me, I'm a guy who always tries to learn, and I keep learning, how to make the game a little bit easier, and I try to do it with a very simple approach. But it's funny, over the years I've gotten so much information that the simple approach kind of got lost.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last 12 or 13 years, my two coaches that have helped me through the game have really helped me, stay focused on how simple the game is and not to get caught up in all the other stuff that goes along with it. So that's how,
Right, go ahead.
I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. I was saying how that transfers down to what you're going from the PGA to basically how does that trickle down to when you help your players at Glen Arbor?
Well, I definitely probably I relate to them on that level. I mean, everything's relative,
right?
They're just as nervous teeing it up in the club championship,
right?
So to them that's a PGA championship. So you've got to relate, your feelings of adrenaline, your feelings of handling the crowd. There might be somebody out there for the first time. So every time that you get to, have a new experience and play, your game of golf, it makes each next experience even easier.
Yeah, it does. And unfortunately, it's not something that you can, you can only describe to people. You can't help them feel it. You know what I mean? I mean,
exactly.
You can say, okay, I want you to putt three times, make sure you go from each location and you have to putt each ball in and put pressure on yourself. But, you can't make a person feel like what it's like to play in a playoff. I mean, I'm a 9 handicap. I play on the Golf Week Amateur Tour here on Long Island, and I played in back-to-back playoffs, just back-to-back events. I was in, I lost the first one and I won the second one. And you can't explain to people how it does make it easier when you're in it, because it's just a feeling that it's just an experience that you have to go through.
Yes, and you obviously learned because you actually got better because you won the second one.
Yeah,
a few of my members came down. I've qualified for 4 PGA championships, so people get intrigued on, what is it, whoever's been to a PGA championship.
Mm-hmm.
But members now have come down and followed me, for the last couple, and that really throws them into, what it is, I guess what the whole experience is,
right,
at that highest level. So then for them to see that, they might think, oh, well, it's not that big of a deal if I'm actually ripping it in my club championship.
Right.
So, again, everything's relative, but it's a great way to get the people just learn about the intricacies of the game and love with it, because it's the best game on the planet.
Oh, it is. I agree without question. When you started playing in the majors, what were some of the things that struck you about the tour, the level of play on the tour, in terms of, like, that really shocked you? That, you knew they were good, they hit it far, but what was it that really was looking back at you and when you were like, holy cow, like, that's what I need to work on, or that, that was a real shock to your system?
It was just how deep, the talent went. I mean, it's not just like a few guys played well, everybody played well.
Right.
And a few guys played exceptional.
So, right.
And then each week, that's what happens. And then the guys gear their games up to play better in the majors. So, you know, so they're playing at a higher level, you know, whereas, you know, for me, even though I tried to amp up my game and can play more, I'm still time restricted.
Yeah, sure.
So I still have things that I've got to take care of, you know, whether it be teaching or, you know, taking care of things at the club, so level. But, you know, it's how deep they are and how good they are. They practice, you do something all day, every day,
yep.
And you compete at the highest level, you're going to get really good at it. And these guys are already really, really good.
Yeah. No,
so they're going to get even better.
And people look at the field and, you know, and you see, you know, whoever makes the cut or whatever, the top 80 or whatever make the cut. And then there's a whole nother tour, like the web.com tour, which is extremely competitive and extremely deep. So people don't realize just how good, and what separates the guy from the web.com tour and the PGA tour is, like, you know, it's a stroke, if you will. You know what I mean?
Guys, but then if you look at the deepness, you know, the guys who are down in the bottom portion of the web.com tour, look at their stroke average versus, you know, the PGA Tour guys. You'll see a difference there.
Right.
And that's where those guys have to then figure out, well, why am I missing those one or two shots that's keeping me from doing this and making this?
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right. Well, the health of the PGA Tour is doing well. What do you think of there's been a lot of doom and gloom scenarios here. As a professional, you're a director of golf, you're a teaching professional, you had to have felt for all the professionals at Dick's that just got laid off. Mm-hmm. You know, what is your, are you comfortable where the growth of the game is going on the amateur level?
You know, I wish we had more people staying in the game,
mm-hmm.
and then growing the game. Too many people leave the game,
mm-hmm.
For other reasons that we can't even, you know, there's so many reasons.
You're right.
You know, I'd like to see a lot more people stay and keep people, you know, getting introduced to the game.
Mm-hmm.
If we can keep doing that, you know, and keep the cost down, we don't want to get into the politics of the whole thing, but there's everybody's on the right track. We're moving in the right direction, and you know, that's what we're focusing on.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And you know, there's a lot of you know, it's like you said, it's a big deal to wrap your arms around. And, you know, at least now it seems like people are willingness to come together and at least get on the same page and work together.
Yes.
To sort of do the right thing for the game of golf.
Right. If you guys can communicate, if everybody can communicate, there is a big partnership to be had here. I mean, you'll start hearing how much deeper it can go, which is what's great about the partnerships that we started. But you know, we just got to stay on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
We get 27,000 of us. You know, teaching the game properly,
yep.
And getting people better at the game properly. We don't want people fishing out there, you know, wondering what to do. We want to make sure that we analyze what they're doing wrong and get them better so they stay in the game.
Absolutely. Rob, hang on the line. I'm going to take one more break. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Got it.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit Pete'sGolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
ABC 123 Golf. ABC 123 Golf is a summer program developed by Mike Wade PGA. ABC 123 Golf offers instruction, practice, and play activities designed to give juniors the necessary knowledge and experience to become lifelong golfers. Improving the playing ability of the junior golfer is our primary objective. In addition, ABC 123 Golf stresses the concept of total youth development throughout the program. Please visit abc123golf.net or call us at 516-385-9294. That's 516-385-9294.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorcher. My guest is Rob Lavritz, the director of golf at Glen Arbor Golf Club. And you can check him out at roblabritz.com. It's LABRITZ.com. Rob, you know, as a teaching professional, do you have any particular influences in terms of style or in terms of theory? You know, any particular PGA professionals in general, or do you sort of have your own little way of doing things?
I love that question. Loaded question. I love it. You know, I believe in a lot. I deal in a lot of biomechanical fact.
Uh-huh.
I deal with a lot of sequential stuff, and I deal with tightening up, you know, all the loose facets of how the ball is supposed to be struck. It's not that difficult. You know, you get people on either side of neutral, and that's, you know, something I'll talk a lot about. I want people to be pretty neutral.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a little bit more cocked to the right, you're going to draw the ball. If you're a little more open or turned to the left, you're going to fade the ball. It's very simple, and the ball just kind of flies off the club face from there when the sequence is proper. But so I guess that would be my shtick. but it does make the game a lot easier. I know when people play with it right away or come to see me for their first lesson, you know, they get hooked and they understand what they're supposed to do athletically, and it makes a lot of sense to them. It's fun for them again. So I'm doing my job, which is getting people to play this awesome game.
Now, what if someone like that's just from the conversation sounds very technical? What if you get someone who says I'm more of a feel? You know, how does that relate to what you're trying to do?
So then you just relate to person who's never hit a golf shot. It would be like standing there, they're trying to hit a ball up in the air, when I might have them take a club and tell them to throw it as far as they can down the fairway. You know from a golf posture.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they would throw it, and generally people with athletic ability comes out, or at least a little bit of athletic ability that people have will come out.
Right.
And they'll get an understanding of it's an athletic move, not. You're not trying to hit down on the ground, or
right.
You're trying to launch. We're trying to launch a ball. That's the cool part, all right?
Right.
People got to understand this. You're trying to launch a ball. We can launch this thing far too. So I don't understand what everybody's talking about hitting down and doing all this stuff. I mean, you're trying to launch a ball. You're swinging a club in a big circle, and the ball is going to take off far. So it's different from keeping your head on the ground. I don't know what people talk about keeping your head down. I don't understand that.
Head down, head still.
I mean, watch that ball. Project it. Watch it off the face. Get it moving. Get that thing moving.
We have a couple of minutes left. Favorite course on Long Island?
Oh, Shinnecock.
Shinnecock, nice.
There's so many good ones, but
I know.
You know, I was there. I taught there for 3 years.
Did you really?
Played there in and out for three. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We played there day in and day out for 3 years. And I just fell in love with every little aspect of that place. It's a great, great spot out there. And there's there's hundreds of great spots out on Long Island.
Oh, it's just...
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's... I still think short of maybe or only comparable to the Sand Belt in Australia, and I only know this through other experts, but without a question, one of the best 100 miles in golf, it's got to be in terms of golf courses and history and everything else. All right, so you have a round at Shinnecock, and you can invite any three players. Who are you inviting?
Well, that's a good one. I'm gonna cop out on the question too. I'd invite my father, who passed away in '97. I'd invite Ben Hogan, and I try to get our partner in crime. What people want to call him, God, the Lord, try to get him on that table too.
All right. All right. Well, having your father there is no cop out. That was a good answer, and the nothing that beats family. And thanks for joining the On Par family today. Really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy teaching schedule to join me this morning. So, and all the best to you for the rest of the season.
Anthony, thanks a lot. I really appreciate being on the show, and I love what you're doing, spreading the word and getting people excited about golf. I'll do the show anytime you need me.
All right. Thank you, Rob. I really appreciate the kind words. Have a great
day. Talk to you soon. You too.
Bye. All right. That was Rob LeBritz. Just like I said, one of the good guys in the game, really nice guy, and he gets it, and you know the guys who get it. And so it was a pleasure to have him on the program. Thank you for joining me this morning. Hopefully it'll clear up and you'll get out there. If not, it'll be nice tomorrow. Join us next week. Woody will be in studio next weekend. We have a great guest, wonderful woman, golfer, author. You won't want to miss it. So, and see you next weekend. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.